You know what they told me? You know what folks told me? They said that I guess with this new way how we're doing it, with this that MP3 Skype recorder thing, they said that they hear you in one ear and me in the other ear.
I've noticed that as well.
A word?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. I didn't even notice that, man. That's
Yeah.
kind of tripped out to me for real. I'm like, but in a way, it's kind of like, in a funny way, it kind of makes sense. Only because, oh, not makes sense, but it's like it's very different. It's different, but like, and it's I don't know. It's kind of unique to me for some reason. I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, like, I would like both ears, but like, I don't know. It's different, though. You know, I always like different. You got your nephew over there?
No, kids outside.
Oh, gotcha. How come they ain't watching the game?
Kids outside?
Yeah.
Because they're Mexican?
Oh, wow. All right, so.
Mexicans' kids don't watch basketball.
Although maybe they're the smarter ones. They actually outside playing.
They're young though. They're probably like third grade.
Gotcha. You got Mexican people in Seattle?
There's a lot in my complex.
Oh yeah, I remember them. I remember them. Yeah, when we were at your brother's crib, they were playing the music and shit outside. That shit was cool as hell. That shit was hood.
It happens often. It's annoying.
All right, cool. All right, okay. All right, let's get things rolling. One second. It's all about timing, Danny. All right. Hit on. Dropbox, okay. All right, ready, bro? Right, one, two, ready, go. Had to bring it back, boy.
You just
What you know
heard
about
like Barb
this?
Albert to start talking.
What you know about this, man?
Do we grew up on that?
Oh man, this was like the theme of the lifetime. ABC dropped the ball severely when they got the rights to the NBA, and they did not bring this song over.
Yeah.
The NBA on NBC. Man, that shit takes me back to like the Bulls' heyday, Sunday afternoons, after church, you know what I'm saying? Get home, you know what I'm saying? Your mama making some food or whatever, or you ordering some food, or you ordering some food, ordering some pizza and everything, having people coming over, and you turn on Channel 5 to watch Jordan and the boys go to work on the Seattle Sonics. I was playing with you. Microphone check 1 2. Microphone check 1 2. What it do? What the business is? I am your calls. I am your caller, Mr. Maurice Prophet.
And I'm Danny Dang.
And welcome to another episode, a new episode of the MDX podcast. And right at the top of the show, you heard it right there. The NBA on NBC theme in the recognition in recognizing that today is game one of the NBA Finals. The Cleveland Cavaliers defending their championship against the Western Conference champions, the Golden State Warriors. And the game is on right now. They just finished the third quarter. They're on commercial going to the fourth quarter. And Golden State is putting is laying that smack down for the lack of a better term.
They're putting in work. They're good at home, though.
Yeah, I knew tonight's game was gonna go Golden State's way. They've had more days off. They had like 9 days off or something like that. So they've been, they're well rested. The rust did not go against them. And like you said, they play when they open up a series at home. I mean, they're damn near unbeatable. And it's always been like that. I can't even think of a time they lost a game one at home. Well, they probably did, maybe last year, right?
Maybe. Aren't they like Aren't they like 12-0 right now?
Yeah, they're undefeated in the playoffs. And the Cavs, they only have one loss against Boston. That's the things that I really wanted to see this. I really wanted to see this be, undefeated team versus undefeated team in the playoffs. Just so this make this this series a little bit worthy, but it's all good or whatever, But
Boston got that one win, that squeak in there.
yeah, and it was crazy too because that was the win that was after when Cleveland just like pretty much raped them for the. I'm sorry, but they did in that
Yeah.
one game when they won by like it was down to like 45 points or 50 points, something like that. It was ridiculous, so embarrassing. And I remember everyone was ready with like okay. Cleveland got this. They got this on wrap. And then Boston came through with that game three victory. I'm like, what the hell? Why? Why
Yeah.
even try? Oh, man. Man, you been watching the game tonight, though? Yeah. Who you got for the series?
I don't know. I don't care about them, either of the teams,
Okay, right.
because Cleveland, and I'm not gonna bandwagon on them, you know what I mean?
But you know,
If I had to choose, if I had to choose, I'm gonna go Cleveland in six.
Cleveland at six.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you're not going with Golden State. You know your boy on that team.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, we're talking about Klay Thompson. Like Danny knows him personally.
I do.
They went to high school together, right?
College.
Yeah, same thing. But you're not, yeah, but you're not pulling for Golden State though, even though you West Coast and your boy there.
Yeah. I don't. The thing is I don't like them as a whole. I like Klay Thompson because I know him.
Right, right,
But as
right.
a whole, I don't like the team. You know?
Yeah, just not a fan, right?
Yeah, just it's hard because you have a basketball team. I don't have one here.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like it's different to watch basketball as a person that doesn't have a team like fully invested in it.
That's true, cause it's kind of like, cause you don't have you like you have no allegiance at all, like at all. So you're not watching basketball on the regular.
Right.
So like so yeah, so in your case you're not watching basketball on the regular because you have like no allegiance to like a home team to a home team. So it's like every team is pretty neutral to you then.
Right. Like, I have my Wizards, but, like, I'm
Right,
so
true.
far removed from them, it's like,
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah. That was actually it's funny you said that because that came up on my Facebook memories. I was convinced last year when the Thunder when they lost to Golden State in that series. That was a great series, by the way, that Western Finals last year. When they lost to them in that game seven, I was like, KD going to the Wizards because he's gonna go east. He's not gonna be in the Western Conference anymore. And I was looking forward to that because I was like, finally we're gonna get some it shifts the balance of power, from the West to the East. So this way, the East has some muscle and everything. So I'm like, okay, that will make the East a little bit more competitive. He goes to the Wizards, with him, John Wall, you know what I'm saying, and whomever else and everything. Washington will look decent, but then when he signed with Golden State, it was like, what? Like that shit shocked the hell out of me. And what's wild too is that Eric Smith, Eric, he sometimes listens. He, cause I posted about it saying, KD that last 3-point attempt KD took right now was him saying that he's ready for free agency. And then Eric Smith jumps on, and is like, watch him sign to Golden State. And at the time, I didn't pay no mind to it, but seeing that on my memories, I'm like, this motherfucker called that shit, man. So I had to kind of give him some props on that. But yeah, no, watch this game tonight, though. Here's my thing. So I got Cleveland going seven games, this series. I knew that they would lose tonight. I'm not. This is like no surprise. I knew that they would lose tonight. And what's gonna happen is that LeBron is gonna make this like he's gonna take what's happening tonight. he's going to take all the criticism that's going to happen, you know, as far as, you know, what's going to, like, the media's going to say, what the papers are going to say and whatnot and everything, what Twitter's going to say and everything. Golden State's up by 100 to 80 right now, so up by 20 right now. He's going to take all that energy, what happened this week to him at his home in Brentwood, and he's going to apply that to the next game, where he's really going to put the game on the team on his shoulders, and he's going to go the fuck off. Also, between now and Sunday, he's going to kick everyone's ass, like, where the fuck are you guys? Because the first quarter, he had no help whatsoever. And then Kyrie started to wake up a little bit in the second quarter, because he needs Kyrie in order to win this series. Like, he really does. He's going to need Kyrie to be how Kyrie was last year in the finals. So he needs for him to wake up. Tristan Thompson is fucking MIA. Like, he has not been doing nothing tonight. He's been playing like pure trash. You know what I mean? So, and we're going to get on Tristan Thompson in a second, because there's a theory I got with him. But he's been playing like trash. And Kevin Love, he's making some plays and everything, but, you know, like, it's not enough. And Culver is out there to hit threes. I haven't yet seen him hit a three yet tonight, unless I missed it or whatever. But I haven't seen him. That's the reason why they brought him on. They got rid of Deli. They got rid of Deli's ass, you know, his destructive ass. And they brought him over Culver to hit those threes, and he's not doing it. So it's like, you know, LeBron's going to get in the ass this weekend. KD is playing like he wants a ring. He out there killing it. He is out there like a fucking freight train. So he playing like he wants a ring, and that's the factor. Is like Kevin Durant is gonna be in a whole completely different stratosphere as far as the way how he plays. He's gonna be the X factor, and also, Iguodala. Is gonna be another dark horse as well too that you can't really sleep on. You know what I mean? If you notice as well too that they switched their game up. They've been doing a lot of inside points. You caught that?
A little bit. I have the game going. I haven't really been watching that much, to be honest.
Oh, I got you.
Just been playing games on my phone.
I'll put this basketball game on as background noise.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But they've been scoring a lot of points in the paint. And that shit is, like, you know, kind of off their – it's, like, kind of off their repertoire, you know, like, what they're used to. And I think that Cleveland as well was more ready for, okay, we got to defend the outside shot because, you know, they're going to be shooting from the perimeter because that's what they do. Because, remember, that's what they did – that's all they did last year. And Cleveland, like, right into that shit kind of quick and was like – okay, we know how I beat these guys, you know what I'm saying? And they found a formula to do that. But a lot of these shots, though, a lot of these points have been made in the paint. You know what I mean? I mean, Durant's been going, you know, been going hard with the drives and everything, so they switched their game up. But I think Cleveland's already kind of bad on defense. They weren't ready for that. Because you see, every time Durant got that fast break, he goes straight up the middle, boom. You know, he hit that motherfucker, but, you know, people are clearing his path because they're like, We weren't expecting that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And plus the fact, in addition to that, too, Cleveland just got done playing a garbage-ass Eastern Conference. So they have, like, I mean, they're not used to this kind of competition. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, like, you know, what really goes down and everything. But with 5:36 left in the game, with Golden State up by 100, wow. Up by 20. Then, you know, we kind of understand, like, you know, where it's going to go and how it's going to resolve. But, I don't know, I still want to see a seven-game series. If I'm wrong and Golden State wins the series, I'll still be happy. I want to see a seven-game series.
I don't.
You don't?
No.
Why?
I hate seven-game series. What? It's so long.
That's what makes it great.
No!
You want to just go, like, as long as possible.
No, just get it over with.
You rather have a sweep?
Yeah, just get it done.
I fucking hate sweeps. Unless my team is sweeping, that's the only time I like it. I hate sweeps.
I hate game sevens.
Oh, fam. So you hated last year's playoffs?
I hate all game sevens. Like, watching the Capitals lose in seven games is so frustrating. It's like, seven games is just too long. It's too much. Like, you could have got it done, like, a long time ago.
Right, right, right. Well, no. When your team is involved, I get that. Because obviously you want the sweep, you want to get it over, you want the ring. I get that. But when you're in a neutral situation, kind of like how we are right now with this game, with the series,
still just want it to be over.
I hate seeing basketball end, man. I hate seeing it end because that just means that all we have now is just is baseball and more baseball.
MLS.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's your thing.
I know your team's doing great right now.
Who?
Chicago.
The Fire.
Yep.
Really? What they doing?
Winning games.
Are they top of the division?
They're close. They are.
Do they even do divisions in soccer? Like Central, or is it all just East West? That's it.
It's just East West.
Oh, okay.
They're second place right now.
In the East?
Yep.
No shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Who's first in the East?
Toronto. Naturally.
The what?
Naturally, Toronto.
Oh, okay. Where y'all at? Where the Sounders at?
We're in like eighth.
Okay. Really, eighth?
Yeah, we're in eighth.
Oh wow, okay. But it's still early. I mean, y'all still got like till October and shit.
Yeah, we're eighth, but we're only one game back.
Oh, damn. So, wait, so all the rest, all seven of the other teams, they're all like real that close?
Pretty much, because they do it off point system, right?
Oh, yeah, that confuses shit, yeah.
So we have 16 points, and Vancouver has 16 points, but LA Galaxy, they have 17. So if we win, then we get boosted up to 19 points, which throws us into like fifth place. So
shit, okay. So, and see, that's what sucks though, is that with y'all being eighth place, but y'all so damn close to being first, being a game off, that means like everyone, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, because that just means like, you know, all eight you guys, all eight of those teams are just gonna be shuffling within the eight. Because, like, you know, one team wins, you know, they move up. Other team loses, they move down. One team wins, when the other two lose, they move up too. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you kind of gonna be like shuffling within each other.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's why like I'm not concerned about it, because like last year we were in like ninth place for like most of the year, and then we won the championship.
Oh okay, yeah.
So all it takes is one hot streak. The only thing that sucks though is that There's USA play right now, and that takes away two of our best players.
Right.
So, like, we have two of our best players out, and we played on Wednesday, and we got smashed.
Oh, word.
Yeah, and then we play again on Sunday, and we're going to get smashed.
Because the players are out.
Because, yeah, we have two of our best players out, and we played Columbus Crew on Wednesday. They're not missing anyone. They have all their players, so they beat us 3-0. And then Houston, I don't think they have anyone on the U.S. team either. So, and they're in first in our division, so they'll crush us.
Why are your people out?
Because they play for the U.S. team.
Oh, yeah. So they're doing that shit, that international shit right now, right?
Yeah.
I only wonder how that works. Like, you know, whenever like the Olympics is going on, or whenever you know, like when the World Cup is going on and stuff. I'm like, they in season right now with their regular team. So how does that work out? They do like what Keanu Reeves did and bring in replacements.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. You have all like you got to go deep into the bench.
Hey, I was bullshitting. They really do bring in replacements.
Yeah, well, you have to. Like, what are you going to just stop playing?
But who do they bring in, though? Like, because, I mean, like, it's not like, you know, you're really picking from the best of the best.
No, that's why. That's why it sucks for us, because our two best players play for the U.S. team. We have Jordan Morris and Clint Dempsey, and they're gone. So it's like, and those are our two forwards. So you're basically taking your literally best players on the team, the people that score the goals, and you're taking them out and then having to put in like a second, third string person to play to take their spot.
Damn. Yeah. God damn.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, dope.
Hey, y'all be booing the shit out of them replacements, though? Like, man, fuck you.
Dude, I'm not even going to the game on Sunday. I sold my tickets.
Oh, for real? I was going to ask you if you're going or not.
Well, it's extreme rules, so right. One, no, and then two, like, it's just terrible to watch right now, so I'm just like, no, I'm good.
Wait, so how long is that the international thing going on for?
I think they should be back within the next couple games.
Oh, okay. Oh, it ain't that long then.
It's just like we just got like our schedule sucks. Like we played last Saturday, and right. Then we played Wednesday night, and then we play Sunday night, and then we have it's not an MLS game, it's a different cup game, but that's on Tuesday night. Like they're just putting games back to back to back to back on us.
Right, right.
You know, and then we got all our guys out for US, and it's just like this whole mess. The same thing happened last year. Yeah. And so it's just like, it's like right now it's like a terrible time because it's like no one's there.
Right, right.
Games are boring. But we beat Portland last week, so that was a big deal.
Yeah, that's your rivalry, right?
Yep.
You were at that game?
I was, yes.
Was that the game over the weekend?
Yeah.
You had a nice little Memorial Day weekend and shit. So why don't you break that down for us? Because you kind of went all out.
Yeah.
Low-key over there rock-starring it up and shit, man. Meeting motherfuckers, shaking hands with motherfuckers, taking pictures with motherfuckers.
It started on Thursday night. Thursday night, me and two of my homies went out to this little theater in Seattle to watch Boone the Bounty Hunter.
Okay,
little movie.
Yeah.
A little movie directed, written by John Hennigan, a.k.a. John Morrison, a.k.a. Johnny Mundo.
Wait, he wrote and directed it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like his first movie. Yeah, it's like his first movie.
I knew he was in it. I didn't know he wrote and directed it.
Oh, yeah.
Shut the fuck up. That's dope.
Yeah.
Okay, I see you. All right, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, so he did a screening of it in Seattle, so we went down for that. He was there, his girlfriend was there, Taya Valkyrie, who's also a wrestler. She's the current Reina's champion of AAA.
Oh, word.
Something like that. Some Spanish word for things I don't know. So she's the women's AAA champion.
Dude, she's gotta be stupid hot.
She's pretty hot.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I know she's got, man.
She's thick, too.
Ooh! Because the real talk, though, like, Morrison be pulling some hoes, man. You know what I mean? I know I'm being on some shit right now, but he be pulling some hoes, man. Damn.
Yeah, so they were there doing their thing.
And a chick from fucking AAA, too? Man, that's over with.
She's Canadian, though.
Is she? Oh, she's 100% Canadian?
Yeah, she's a white girl from Canada.
With the rest of Mexico, but she cool with me though. she cool.
And then so we did that. It was like, you know, hour and a half movie. It was, you know, definitely indie film, but you could tell he was really like, you know, passionate about it. So
yeah,
that kind of made the movie, right? Because this year, I mean, the stories that he told us about how the movie came about and all that stuff and how he had people trying to fund it and then they like backed out. So yeah, he ended up,
what was the funding like for him?
The way he told it was the movie script was revised 20 times.
Wow.
The first go through that he wrote the movie, he basically wrote it as a $10 million production. And then he said as he started editing it, he realized that that's not feasible by any means.
Man.
Yeah. So he basically was like, it went from big city to small city to country town to fast car chases to not car chases to this to that. And it just kept going lower and lower and lower and lower and lower.
You got to think about, you know, it's permits that are involved. It's special types of cameras that are able to, like, take what he was visualizing. Like, you know, like you said right now, the fast car chases and everything like that. Like, that takes a very special type of, like, not only camera, but also the equipment and the construct as well, too, to be able to endure that. So I can imagine that being very, very expensive.
Right. Well, he was telling, so basically he just said, you know, it was like 20 revisions, and then he finally got it to what he wanted, and then, you know, they came up with what they had. He did his own stunts, because he does professional wrestling, he's in the parkour. Yeah, so, you know, he was able to do all that stuff, and he was telling us how there's like some major scenes in there that happen at this, like a small little, like, bar in Mexico.
Yeah,
and he was telling us how that was like the most expensive set for the whole movie, and they were like, it was like $20,000 a day to get it, and basically it was $20,000. So that's your set, all your equipment, your staffing, and all that stuff. Jeez. And so they had it for, you know, however many days, and he was like, because the pricing was so high, he goes, I was trying to do all my own stunts, however, because of the way that the prices were and all that stuff, basically what they were doing was he was filming inside and he had a stunt double outside filming other stuff. To make use of it.
So this way, like, they can like, you know, get...
utilize everything.
Right.
Time, at money, time, all that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. Yeah, that's smart.
You know, and then there's, like, another scene where it's, like, in the woods and he does a bunch of stuff out there, and he was telling us how him and, like, a few people went out there with their own cameras set up and just did their own thing. Mm. So it's like, it was like off the books, didn't have to pay for it. Like, so he was telling us how he had all this backing and, like, these guys were like, yeah, whatever you put in, we'll match it. And he's like, dope. And then he was like, then, like, the first call didn't go through. Then they stopped calling me back. Then I couldn't get a hold of them. Then they just disappeared. You know,
shit, that sucks.
So he basically was like, I sold my house that I had bought when I was working with WWE. So you can only imagine what kind of money that was.
Yeah.
He's like, and then he funded it himself.
Wow.
So it was like an all him thing.
Wow. Damn, I respect the hell out of that, man.
Yeah. So it was like, so it was pretty cool.
Damn,
so
I respect that.
So that made me enjoy the movie a lot more.
Hell
because
yeah.
Like, deeper meaning. It wasn't like he was in, like, Sony deep pockets or,
right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
So, and so you could really tell that he was, like, you know, that it was something he was passionate about. And, like, he's probably one of the nicest people that I've ever met. When it comes to, like, just being a celebrity and how cordial he was and, like, so the theater that we went to was, like, it's not your typical theater. It was, like, a bar restaurant with, like, a movie screen, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so when we got there, it was a little bit early, and they had this thing called Cartoon Hour. So there's a bunch of kids running around, and they just were showing cartoons on the screen, right? Anyone could come in, watch. You could sit down, have a drink, eat some food, whatever.
Nope.
So we did that, and then they were like, hey, everyone needs to leave. We can clean up for the next show. We're like, all right, cool. So then outside was like this waiting area with a bunch of tables. So a bunch of us were just out there chilling, and in walks John Morrison.
So crazy.
You know, he just walks in, looks around. Say, hey, guys. He sees us. This, and there was probably, I'm going to say maybe 15 or 20 of us at the time.
Yeah.
He went around, shook everyone's hand. Hi, I'm John. Hi, wow. I'm John. Hi, I'm John.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow. You know, that's kind of unreal. And then, he had a nice Q&A session at the end. We all took a picture together, like a group picture of the screening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, all right, cool. Not bad. So the movie was cool. So that was Thursday night. And then Friday, my buddy Tristan came up from Portland. Because he was coming up because we had Defy 3 that night.
Oh, word, right.
Featuring John Morrison. That's why he was in town.
Yeah.
And So we get down to the venue where Defy is going on, and you had main event was John Morrison versus Shane Strickland. You had who else was there that night? Moose was there. Joey Ryan was there.
Legalized sleaze.
Leo Rush was there. Davey Richards was there. Taya Valkyrie was there.
Ain't Davey Richards the champ?
He beat Leo Rush that night.
Word, okay.
For the CZW championship.
Oh, my bad. Oh, I took your thunder away, my bad.
Which was crazy, because Defy, earlier in the week, had they announced that they were partnering with CZW. Mm-hmm. So we're like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
And then Leo Rush comes out as the champion, and they're like, oh, yeah, title's on the line. So, like, Leo Rush comes out. So have you ever watched Leo Rush's stuff?
Nah.
So he's just really small, agile, fast-paced kind of guy. But when he's in CZW, he does like this black heart gimmick where he's kind of like a zombie sort of.
Yeah.
But he's like slower moving. He's kind of like the undead type. Maybe like a zombie.
It's like the opposite of what he normally is.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
So he came out in like full gimmick, title and all. And like to give you the type of character that he plays, he comes out, his entrance was probably as long as like an Undertaker entrance.
Cool.
And he gets out, he gets in the ring, the match starts, bell rings, and he's just standing there, not doing anything. And like Davey Richards is like trying to provoke him, and he's just not moving at all, just kind of standing there.
Yeah.
And then like Davey Richards like gets all up in his face and he kind of leans back, and then out of nowhere, Leo Rush just like hits him like 20 times.
Shit.
And then he goes back to just standing still.
Huh.
You know, so it's kind of like that. But then like the match picks up, whatever. But then Davey Richards won, and everyone was like, "What just happened?" It was crazy.
How long was the match?
Probably 20 minutes.
Oh, so okay, so it was a good, nice little length then.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
So was he zombie mode like the whole match?
No, he kicked out of it for after a while.
Okay, I got you.
Kind of just went back to his own thing. So
yeah.
But yeah, man, Defy 3.
So you're like, holy shit, we just watched a new champion being crowned.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Did not expect that to happen.
Nope. So yeah, so that was good. Defy was good. Defy's always good. I'm so happy with the things that they're doing. Like,
yeah.
It's really nice how, and they're getting like so much press with it. Like, Cody Rhodes is plugging them like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
He keeps talking about how it's like one of his favorite places to work. And like, he's coming back for 4 and 5 in June. And it's just like each show they have just gets bigger and bigger. Like the 3's main event was Shane Strickland versus John Morrison. 4's main event is going to be Pentagon Jr. versus Cody Rhodes.
Right.
5 is going to be Phoenix and Pentagon Jr. versus Red Dragon. So it's like it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, easier and easier. You know, they're bringing Davey Boy Smith Jr. in for it. Like Cody Rhodes is coming again. Like I said, I'm sure Shane Strickland will be there. Like it's just like. It's incredible because we don't ever have this and we've never had it, right. You know? So it's like, it's crazy to see how people have really like embraced it and like it's become a thing. Mm-hmm. And so like we've been sitting in the same spot for the last 2 shows, and then at Defy 2, they were like, hey, we're selling tickets to Defy 3 like right now. And so like, we ran over and we bought our tickets, but then they didn't give us like where we were sitting and all that stuff. And then like, I was like, man, I really hope that they give us like the seats that we usually have been sitting in. Right. And so for 3, the section that we normally sit in was bought out by, like, a company. They bought the whole section.
Fucking assholes.
Right? And so I was like, ah, because, I mean, we ended up buying, like, the same tier seating that we buy.
Yeah, yeah.
But then here, and this is why it's so great. So the one of the main guys of Defy, his name is Jim Perry. We happen to know him just through Defy. He saw us. Never really introduced each other. We just, you know, we're Facebook friends. We follow each other on Twitter and stuff. But
right.
He walks over and he's like, hey, your guys' section got completely bought out. So I put you on the other side where you would normally sit. It's just in a different section.
Yeah.
So basically, like, the way that it looks is, if you think of, like, if you look at if the entrance is in the corner, right, in the very corner, let's say you're looking at a square,
yeah,
and you're in the corner, I was always in the seat that was right next to the entrance on the first side.
Okay, right. Yeah, you were always ringside.
Right, and yeah. So basically my normal section got bought out, so he put me in the first seat on the other side of the entrance.
Okay, okay. Oh, so okay, it's not much of a difference.
Yeah, so it wasn't that far off. Yeah. Usually, if I'm looking at the ring, then I was normally sitting on the right side of the turnbuckle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this time I sat on the left side.
Okay, no, I'm with you. Yeah, it's not that much of a difference then. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, like your mirror. Like, if you were to put a mirror in front of your seat, then that's your new seat.
Oh, definitely. Right. I literally was like 6 feet away from where I normally would sit.
Right, yeah.
So I wasn't concerned about it at all.
So wait, so were the company people are at this past show, or are they going to be at the next show?
What do you mean?
The company, the people in the company that bought your section.
Oh, that I don't know. Because I'm not going to 4 and 5.
Oh, word. Oh, yeah, you mean L.A.
Yeah, I'm going to be down in Japan. In Japan. I'm going to be in L.A. for New Japan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so Defy was great, always good. There's just – some of the stuff is unreal. If you want – if you go on YouTube and you search Cody Rhodes versus Shane Strickland, Defy, that match is on YouTube.
Okay, cool. What about that the David Richards match?
So they don't have that on YouTube. They have a streaming service that you can get.
Yeah.
So they put their shows up on a website, defyondemand.com. Look at all these plugs for them.
pay us. I was playing.
defyondemand.com. They've got I know they have shows 1 and 2 up, and I think 3 is on the way, if not already up.
Okay.
And you can do, I think it's like a $3.99 monthly service.
Oh, ain't bad.
Or you can rent the event for, it's under $10.
Okay, yeah.
So if you're looking for some good, you know, independent wrestling, good commentary and all that stuff, it's check them out. It's really, I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
Granted, I might be more biased to it because it's up here and like, it's like the newest thing that we have, and it's like legit. You know what I mean? Like we have a bunch of other wrestling stuff up here. 3-2-1 battle, really really fun stuff. But
right.
That's more like, it's more gimmick wrestling, yeah, right? There's a lot of people that I know that don't watch wrestling that will go to 3-2-1 shows.
Yeah.
Because it's a good time. It's fun. Yeah. You know. It's there's a lot of crowd interaction, there's characters, you know, and it's just it's a circus, it's crazy.
Yeah,
but
3-2-1 reminds me of like the West Coast version of Chikara, basically, right?
Yeah, 3-2-1's up there, it's more of your hood slams type of stuff.
Yeah,
you know, your Chikaras, your, because yeah, over, I mean, Chicago, you guys have like the, what is it, the AAW or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Which is like more legitimate wrestling, right? And I'm sure you have more gimmicky wrestling too, but so Defy is more of our legitimate, like, but the thing is like 3-2-1 gets like Colt Cabana's coming. You know, he's gonna be there tomorrow. They get Joey Ryan, Jeff Cobb, but, you know, B-Boy. So they get all these bigger names, but
has it been around longer, though?
It has been around a lot longer, yeah. But I mean, if you look at Joey Ryan's more gimmick than anything, right? Colt Cabana's more gimmick than anything. True. So they kind of fit in with that. Again, I'm not knocking them at all. I have great times every time I go.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have like a legitimate like wrestling promotion up here.
Yeah, like a home base.
Right.
Yeah, because it reminds me of like ECW basically. Like that's gonna be like Seattle is the Fi's home. So it's the same crowd, the same fans, the same venue, intimate venue, and it has its own personality. You know, being like, you know, it has its own personality of being like, this is where you come for just straightforward good ass wrestling being told in the ring. Right. And yeah, so I mean, yeah, that's why I mean that's a good look too, you know, because something like that though could really catch on with a lot of fire, and especially with how social media is nowadays as well too. So.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and like you said, it's only growing. It's only getting better and
bigger. Yeah, Defy 3 was trending on Twitter on Friday.
Oh, see, that's what's up. You're right.
You know, so it's getting huge.
Yeah, the fact that they were able to book Morrison though, man, that's like that had to be badass, man.
I don't know who's backing this or who's, you know, but yeah. Like I said, I know the promoter, Matt Farmer, really nice dude, just loves the business, knows a lot about it, and just knows how to put a show on, and they just like they're doing a great, great job. They at Defy 3 they announced they're doing a women's cup tournament.
Oh, that's badass, really.
Coming up, yeah, Angelina Love came out and nice. Basically said she's going to be the first person in there. And then we had a local come through, Kate Carney, basically was like, yep, well, I'm going to do it too. And then I think Sue Young's going to do it as well.
That's dope as hell.
Who's Rich Swann's wife.
Okay, right, yeah, yeah.
Life.
Yeah. That's why her name was familiar. I'm like, why do I know that name? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because Angelina Love, she's married to David Richards.
Mm, true.
And David Richards is from here, wow. so they've been up here a lot, and so Angelina Love's getting her payday up here too.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, it's been good. It's been really good. I'm really excited for them. So.
Hell yeah, man. That's good shit. That's real good shit.
Well, yeah. So that was Friday. Saturday, we had a soccer game. My buddy Tristan went with me. He's a Portland guy. I'm a Seattle guy.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah.
I was able to win an on-field experience, so he got to go on the field with me. We got to watch warm-ups on the pitch, which was cool.
That's cool.
And then we ended up winning 1-0. I got home, dude, and I was like, super tired because I'd just been going like nonstop since Thursday.
Yeah.
So I got home and I like passed out, and then I had to wake up because we had a barbecue over at my cousin Teresa's house. Yeah. So we went and had a barbecue, and then I didn't do anything. Literally Sunday, I laid home all day, and I ended up binge watching all of Master of None.
So you finished season 2 also?
I finished season 2 on Monday.
Okay, don't tell me what happened. I mean, I still have like 3 episodes left of season 2.
Yeah, they all die.
Ah, Dev! Not Dev! Not Dev!
But yeah, no, it was good. Because when Master of None had first come out, I got to like episode 5 or 6.
Yeah.
See, this is me in shows. If I'm not into it, I'll watch like some of it, and then I'll just like taper off, right?
Right.
And then there's was it Mr. Robot? Like I was super hyped on it, started watching it, got kind of bored of it, stopped watching, and I haven't watched anything since like episode 5, season 1.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Seriously?
That's just
so much good shit, man. That's just
how I function. Oh. So I remember Master of None came out. I was like, dope, a new Aziz show. Yeah. And then I started watching it. And then I just kind of like, meh. And then I like fizzled out. So then So then I rewatched it and I got into it again.
Hell yeah.
I finished it.
I told you, man, I watched season one 4 times. Because I loved that show so damn much. And the only reason why I'm not done with season 2 yet is because I'm milking every second of it. Like, I don't want it to end. I still want it to be as fresh as possible for as long as possible. I told you that show is fucking awesome. The writing on that show is, like, the thing is with the writing on that show, it's so simple but clever as hell. Like, I'm like, I wish I could write like this. It's so freaking clever. You know what I mean? And so much forward thinking with, like, what type of the dialogue he's using as well, too. You know what I mean?
See, for me, it's one of those things where, like, you are a writer, a director, so you look at things so much differently than I do. You watch it because you, again, you said the writing is good, this and that. You see all that. All I see is Aziz Ansari. That's what I see. So I'm like, oh, this could be funny because I like his stand-up. I think he's a funny dude. So I'm going to watch this show. And then I get brought in because I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I watched the first season. It was kind of cool. And then the second season got me because there's, like, a lot more storyline going on.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, the first season, right, it was like each episode was like something different, right? It was like, you know, being casted as an Indian person in a movie.
Learning
about my parents' heritage, you know, this and that. So I think each episode was like a niche episode, whereas with season 2, you've got a lot more story.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So I think that's what captivated me into it, because I'm the kind of guy, so it ends and I'm just like, season 3 better hurry up, because this is gonna be, you know what I mean, I'm just like, because I can't wait this long.
Yeah, man. And think about how long we waited for season 2 to happen. Like, we waited like a year and a half,
right, you know. So I was like, all right, cool. And then so it ended and I was just like, okay, I need like 3 like right now. Because I'm at the point now where I'm like fully invested and I need to know what happens.
Right. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
You know, so that's why I'm excited for, what is it, next week when Orange is the New Black comes back.
Oh, that's next week it drops?
Yeah, it's the 9th, I think.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, goodbye next weekend. Like, I'm just going to watch, like, most of it, because it'll probably be like 13, 14 episodes.
I remember you put me on that show, actually, because I remember when season 1 came out, I knew it was there, but I wasn't really fucking with it. I was like, Orange is the New Black, okay, whatever. But I, like, no, I was kind of like, you know, kind of going past it, and I was watching, at the time, I was binge-watching Weeds really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching Weeds, and I saw your post one day, it was like a Sunday or some shit, and you said, like, I just watched, like, 10 episodes of Orange is the New Black, Don't Judge Me, or some shit like that, and I was like, is that show that good? Where this motherfucker watched 10 episodes in a row? Shit, is that good? So, I said, like, right, I'm gonna give it a try, because I trust your taste and everything. I'm like, I know Danny know what's up, so I'm gonna see what's up. So I watched that first episode, and I was like, okay, that shit was good. Okay, he right. And I found myself, you know what I mean, had me a little mini marathon with it, and I'm like, all right, slow up. It's good. I don't want it to end yet. I want to savor this. It's kind of like how I'm doing right now, you know, with Masters.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let me slow up with this. I want to savor every second what's going on with this show and everything. So I got hooked on that because of you. Last season, though, last season was hard to watch.
Last season?
Yeah. That shit was rough. It was kind of rough to watch. Only because, like, I wasn't expecting it to go as hard as it went. Like, I know they kind of deep, but they went for the jugular, you know, with the whole, like, race war and, you know, what happened with Pussy and, you know what I mean? Like, you know,
You mean Pussy?
Yeah. You know what I mean? No, I mean, but like what? I mean, it just went a very, it had a very heavy hand. basically.
Right.
And I wasn't expecting. I'm like, holy shit. But yeah, no, I'm still a fuck with it though. Don't trip.
That's why I'm really excited for the Glow to come out. Glow series.
Yes.
Because Kenji does that one too.
Hell yes. And if you notice that her tone is the tone of her shows are very similar to Weeds, to Orange, and now and you can even tell in this Glow series as well too, how it's gonna be like that tone as far as like the way how the story is presented is done so well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm with you on that, man. I'm geeked for that. For those who don't know, the creator of Orange is the New Black and also Weeds, she made a show that's dedicated to women's wrestling. But it's the old school promotion, Glow, Glamorous Ladies of Wrestling. If you grew
gorgeous
up in the
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Mm-hmm. What was it?
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh, Glamorous.
It's gorgeous.
Okay. But if you grew up in the '80s, y'all probably, you know, if you're an '80s baby, you probably remember seeing it like on, you know, Channel 66 or something like that, you know, flipping through the channels and whatnot, seeing the ladies and you know, in their swimsuit, wrestling attires, wrestling in the ring and everything. But that was Glow, you know, like that. That's what it was and whatnot. So they're doing a show that's dedicated on, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like how the promotion came about and how they pretty much, you know, became a phenomenon, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's pretty much going to be like it's like a series about it.
Yeah, it's a series. Yeah. About the rise of Glow.
Dude, yeah, pretty much.
I really hope that they really like stay like, you know, like historically accurate with it as well too. And granted, I'm not a Glow expert or anything like that, but I hope that they reference like, you know, who do y'all think you are, Vince McMahon? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, referencing the World Wrestling Federation, referencing the NWA and whatnot, and you know what I'm saying? Maybe even referencing like, you know, women like Rockin' Robin, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Fabulous Moolah, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Should be interesting. A-Rise in it, for some reason.
Really? Oh, holy shit, really?
Yeah.
What's he doing in there?
I don't know, but he's in it. Allison Brie's in it, so that kind of has my attention as well.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, she was in the trailer. You're right, yeah.
Awesome Kong is in it.
No shit, for real?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome Kong is in it. Who else is in it?
You know who should be in it? Ivory.
She should, but she's not.
Because she really was in Glow.
Yep.
She at least they should have brought her on as like a consultant at least or something like that.
I'm sure they did.
Maybe they'll bring her over season two. Who knows?
They brought on...
They should bring on Medusa.
Right? They brought on... what did they bring on as... what's her face? All right, hang on.
Old School?
Yeah.
Wendy Richter?
No, they brought on... they brought on... Ursula Hayden, who was in the she's an actual wrestler. She was part of Glow in real life.
No shit, for real.
Yeah.
She old. Oh, you said she's old school, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. If your name's Ursula, you gotta be a tough motherfucker. So she definitely was part of Glow with that kind of a name.
Yeah, she's a current owner of it as well, of Glow.
Wait, Glow's still around? Well, she was defunct. Who's like talking about wrestling for Glow right now?
I don't know if it is still a working promotion.
Cause I remember they made a comeback back in like the early 2000s, they made a comeback.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, go. Well, that's what's up, you know? It was kind of novelty, you know what I'm saying, to see it. But
yeah.
But then it kind of, like, you know, faded away again.
Yeah. I don't know how prominent it is anymore. Who knows?
Maybe it's like mad local. Like they're on some you know, we only wrestle in Kentucky and Tennessee type shit at the borderline. But yeah, no, I'm with you on that though. I'm looking forward to those and everything, man.
Supposed to be coming soon, end of June.
Damn, man, that's what's up. TV getting good, man. Cause with that, got that, you got Orange. You brought Mr. Robot. Season 3 is coming back up probably about a month or so. I am super stoked. I'm telling you, you missing out, bro. You need to fuck with
that. Yeah. Nah, that's too much thinking for me.
It really is. No, for real, like real talk though, like real shit. Like I go like psychotic deep with that show. Like I research. I'm like everything like that comes up on the screen. I'm like taking notes as I'm watching it. I'm Googling like, okay, what does this mean and what's this code mean and everything like that. And like they have a special website to understand like, you know, like what like the some of the coding means and everything like that. So there are people on Reddit. This is how nerdy I get with it. There's people on Reddit who actually discuss, like, you know, kind of like put together, okay, the coding in the third segment of episode 3, when you saw it at the top of the screen or whatever, that means this, that, and the other. However, in episode 5, it reverts back to what he said back in season 1 on episode 8. So when you tie that in together, it comes out with this, but we may not get the rest of what that means until episode 11. See, I'm that dork that's actually putting all that together. I'm listening to podcasts about Mr. Robot. I'm on that ridiculous website. I'm on Reddit. Like, I'm that dork.
Yeah, no thanks. That's just too much, like, that's too much for me in a show, right? Like, I don't want to have to look into it. I want to just have whatever's in front of me. Cool, it's funny, it's captivated me, it's dramatic, whatever. I don't want to have to go to some Mr. Robot for Dummies book and, like, get a decoder from drinking Ovaltine to decode it to tell me to drink more Ovaltine while I watch Mr. Robot. Like, that's just that's too much for me. Like, I don't want to be that invested in it. Like, don't make me work for these understandings. Like,
yeah, no, I feel you. You know, I feel you on that because sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I could just watch this show and just watch it and just let it ride, but. When for some reason, whenever I turn it on, I like a switch goes off in me where I'm like, I have to be in mode now. Like for instance, at the end of season, I'm not spoiling nothing for you, but at the end of season 1, they play Near Thee to God, and if you remember when Caesar watched Rome burn, that was the song that was playing. So I'm like, why? Were they playing Near Thee to God? And so that compelled me for an entire year. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I'm putting together like what I just got done seeing that entire season, and as far as like what just happened before that was playing, the way how it was shot, because that last scene was shot in one shot, which I am a fucking mark for. When I ever see a thing being shot in one shot. And I'm like, why were they playing that? And then, like, when season 2 started, and, like, when it jumped off, then I was able to kind of put those clues together. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I hold on to that anguish for an entire year, an entire calendar year, to understand, like, you know, why these things come about. But my thing is, though, is like, I'm like, I guess because I like that challenge to be able to be like, that's what it has to mean. That's what it has to do with. That's what they were talking about. You know what I mean? So, like I said, I'm that dork with it.
Yeah, but you do that with everything. You're like, today I'm going to make biscuits. And the flour goes in with the salt, and then we put the pepper in. And then you go into this, but why does the pepper go third? What if I put it second before the salt? Does it change the taste? Will it make the texture different? Like, that's how you think. I'm the kind of guy that's like, all right, just mix it all together, whatever. Does it come out right? Oh, great, wonderful. Let's move on.
My friends, these stupid as hell.
you know it's true.
You gotta respect the process. There's a process for everything. But yeah, but at the same time, though, you have to ask, why is there a process?
No, you don't.
Like, why? Like, where did this come from? You know, because that's my way of thinking is, like, there's always a start, but why did it start from that, though? Like,
it doesn't matter why.
But
you don't need to know why.
There's a start before a start.
You're the whole, did the egg happen before the chicken or whatever? Seriously,
but think about, but that's real, though. That's real shit. Like, think about it. If something is beginning, is that really the beginning?
But you know how much time you're going to waste trying to figure that out? Who cares?
Is it really a waste when you actually kind of, like, you know, when you kind of open your mind to something else?
It is a waste. I'm dealing with that right now at work. There's a guy that we hired on. He's just a temp. He does, you know, some of our lower end work. But then he's like, well, why do I do it this way? Just do it, bro. But why? I need to know everything. No, you don't.
See? But you need a guy like that on your team, though.
No, you don't, because you're wasting your time trying to figure it out. Because after 6 months, if I don't like you, I'm letting you go.
But okay.
You don't need to know everything.
Are you his boss?
I'm his lead.
Okay, you're his lead, right? So there's going to be a day where you may need some type of, like, I don't know, maybe you need, like, a second eye on something. Maybe you need some, like, you know, kind of, like, some insight on, like, a situation that involves some problem solving. Because this guy who's on your team right now, who's under you, because you know how inquisitive he is.
I ain't asking him anything.
Really? You ain't gonna go to him for a second eye?
No. No, not at all.
So you would be the hater now. Because he may be able to help you.
No, he won't. I already know he can't. So I'm good.
Is he one of those I think I know everything types?
Yep. It's like, bro, you've been here for like 2 months. Get out of here.
Yeah, I can't. But you never know. You never know. I mean, being inquisitive, though, some benefits to that.
No, that's never. It's annoying. You're like the little four-year-old kid, but why? Why? Why?
Oh, see, okay.
Why? Why?
Yeah.
Why? Why? But why? Why? It doesn't matter why. Just do it.
I remember I had a friend like that when I was in grammar school, and I hated that motherfucker so much. But I know what you mean, though. But at the same time, though, I see, like, when it's used right, then you're onto something.
I guess. I'm just one of those guys that's like, if you ask me to do something, I'm going to do it. If it involves me trying to go deeper into it, and, like, I know I understand there's a big picture to things. Like, I get that.
Right.
And I understand that. But the thing is like, if you're working on a task at hand, like, I'm more, let's get it done, and when we get to the big picture, we'll get there. Like, right. I don't, you know, like, the kind of guy where if I'm putting together something from IKEA, right, I know what it looks like at the end, but I'm literally going to go step by step to get there. I'm not going to jump to the end of it to be like, all right, like, I'm just going to figure it out from here, you know?
Okay.
Like,
right.
So I'm that kind of person.
Yeah.
Where I will take it, and I know when I get to the end, then I will get it all because I've taken the steps to get there, as opposed to, I think it's the same thing in people who, like, or watching movies. We talk about this all the time. Watching movies. Whoa, what do you think about this? Well, keep watching it. You'll get an answer. Right.
See, that's you know, that's the difference too. And I think that's, like, what I think I was trying to articulate earlier, is that when you're in a situation where you're going to get to the goal, where you're going to get to the objective, then it's like, okay, just wait it out. You will get there. You know, but if you're in a situation where you're kind of organically coming up with these questions or these inquiries, and you kind of, like, want to understand, like, you know, get a clear understanding, then that's, I feel, is healthy to ask. You know, hey, I was thinking, you know what I mean? Instead, but if you're in a situation where you know that the objective is going to come about once you do A, B, C, X, Y, Z, then it's like, okay, be the fuck cool, do what needs to be done, and we'll get to the finish line together. And then we can talk. Then we can talk about the process. But yeah, but I'm more about like you know saying like you know appreciating the more organic questions that come about. So I hear you on that. I hear you on that. So yeah, man. No, I got this. So your weekend was good then. So were you at your brother's house all weekend, right?
I stayed there. I would stay there Friday night. I ended up going home early.
Oh, you through the whole weekend?
No.
Oh, see, I thought you were gonna be on some like you know what I'm saying like you know got you know got brought some hoes over. You know what I mean?
No. He was coming home. He said he was either gonna come home Sunday night or Monday.
Yeah.
And I didn't know when he was coming back. Not that it would have mattered, but my homie who came up, he left a little bit after the game on Saturday. Yeah. So I was just like, well, I don't really have a reason to be up here.
Right.
You know, for the next 2 days. And then with everyone having the barbecue over here, I was like, well, I'll just go home. Like, no big deal.
True. Yeah, and I feel you on that. Yeah. Yeah. But you, at the same time, your brother has a very nice couch, though. It's very comfortable.
It's new. The one that you slept on is no longer there.
Where's it at?
It's in his room. He bought a new couch.
Oh, okay. So he has a new couch out in the living room, and he's got the old couch, the comfy couch, in the bedroom.
Because it was like the cream color couch when you were there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a completely different couch now.
Word, really?
It's bigger than the one that you slept on.
No shit, for real?
Which would probably be more comfortable for you now.
Wow. Well, I mean, but the other couch was nice, so I was very like we almost missed my flight because that couch kind of hugged me nice, you know what I mean? We were chilling. I'm like, man, I'm about to fall asleep in this motherfucker.
Could have been the extracurriculars as well.
Oh my god, I've never been that high in my life. Never. Oh my god. Like the entire weekend, I was not sober. Jesus Christ. That's why I'm coming back out there in the fall.
Well, Anthony already said you could stay at his place.
Oh, my nigga, man. That's my nigga right there, dude. For real. But my. Okay, so the reason why I asked that about, you know, like the weekend for you and, you know, bringing the hoes over is because I got this theory, right? So I touched on it last year around this time, but I didn't really go into it. But the more I think, and you know how I think, Danny, the more I think I like, you know, that I like to put a lot more ingredients into the mix. So I touched on this last year about, aside from, and you know, all respect and blessings and salute and honor go to the men and women who serve this country. I don't necessarily agree with a lot of ideologies of this country, but that's a whole other conversation I do not want to get into right now. However, I will never, 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 never disrespect any men and women who go into the military, and especially the ones who have actually given their lives, and who have lost their lives, you know, from fighting in this country, even after they came back and everything. So my all to you guys, and all respect and honor and love. But also, I feel like, aside from honoring the men and women of this country who have died for our freedoms, quote-unquote freedom, I feel like there's another objective to Memorial Day as well, too. I feel that Memorial Day for singles is... this the one weekend where you can be a hoe.
There's more weekends that you can be a hoe.
There is, but this is the jump-off weekend of being a hoe. Like, certified, we won't judge you, it's all good, nobody gonna talk about you, hoe status. Because... and here's my thing. Just give me a few minutes, Danny, so I can go into this. Cause, you know, you've been like, you know, hibernating all weekend and all winter or whatnot. And Memorial Day weekend is kind of like the barometer that kind of gets you an idea of what the tone of the summer is gonna be like. And it's like the first weekend where it's like it's popping. It's a 3-day weekend. Some people take off Friday as well, too, to make it a four-day weekend and everything. So they really go all out. You know what I'm saying? Like, the clubs are hot, the bars are hot and everything. The weather is really nice consistently on Memorial Day weekend. So it really, like, you know, it's like your one weekend where it's like, okay, now it's like it's time to wild out. It's time to kick it. So you see all the girls getting flights, so they all flying out to Miami, they all flying down, like, you know what I'm saying, like, they all flying out to, like, you know, wherever the beaches are at and everything like that. You see cats coming out kind of smooth and everything, and so, like, it's a, you know, it really is your time, like, you know, to freak around, you know what I'm saying. If you fall into a threesome, you fell into a threesome. If you got a dick in each hand, you got a dick in each hand. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you really are in a position where you're really able to enjoy your single life and embrace that inner hoe. And the thing is that it sets the tone for the rest of the summer. So you have Memorial Day weekend. That's the weekend where you're a hoe. And then you have, the next weekend that you have is 4th of July weekend. Now, 4th of July weekend is a little tricky because that's when you're not booed up yet, but you got, like, you know, your prospects of who you got on rotation. You know, you got, you know, saying, like, you know, you may have one chick that you kind of cuddle up with a little bit more than normal. You got your one side chick or whatever that you have on reserve that comes off the bench. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you have to have that one person you got to go see the fireworks with. You know, you got to have that one person where you have the barbecue with, you go to the pool with, you know what I mean? So you got to have that one person. You're not booed up with them yet, but, like, they're a high possibility that you're kind of holding them on deck. So 4th of July weekend is, like, you know, mad social, so they're meeting friends, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, y'all, you know, couples are meeting other couples and everything like that, so, like, all that shit kind of happens, so you kind of, like, you know, seem like, you know, where things are lying at, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's 4th of July weekend. After that is Labor Day weekend. Now, Labor Day weekend is kind of a weird weekend because nothing really, it's not like a popping weekend, like, you don't say, oh, man, it's going down Labor Day weekend, Joe. You don't really say that, but Labor Day weekend, though, if you ever notice, it has, like, a really interesting vibe to it because it, like, you really do feel the slowdown. And that's why I believe that Labor Day weekend is the first day of cuffing season. And that's when you're like, okay, I did my hoeing in the summertime. We got around, it was hot, we were at the pool, we were at the beach, we kicked it. Now I kind of know, like, I kind of know who I want to spend my winter with. But the thing is, I got to find said person to spend that winter with. So, with Labor Day weekend being the kickoff, now you know, okay, it's now I got to find my boo. I got to find my girl, I got to find my guy, I got to find who I want to, like, you know, who I want to cuddle up with. So you have from Labor Day weekend until Halloween to figure that out. You have that time span to figure all that out as far as, like, you know, who's available. Now the thing is, though, is what's tricky is that all the top tier women and guys, they get scooped up the first few weeks of September. You gotta think about it, Danny. Why that? Because that's when football season happens. So, women, they're going to want a guy, like, they can watch the games with every Sunday, they can hang out with, they can bring, you know, hang out with their buddies, feel cool, take the Instagram pictures of everyone, like, with beers and chips to watching the game, her wearing her boyfriend's jersey. She wants that, and, you know, the guy, he wants, you know what I'm saying, a little nice little cute thing, you know what I mean, like, under his arm while he watching the game, too, or whatever, like, you know, his boys and everything, she bring him a beer, you know what I mean, she looking at her man. That's what he wants. So the real quality people, they get scooped up in the first few weeks because they want to be able to enjoy all 16 weeks of the NFL with their boo thing. Because if you notice, Danny, by the time Halloween comes around, even though, you know, like, you got your scantily clad, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, females out there, and you got your drunk frat boys out there and whatnot, you know, in the costumes acting crazy, they're not the, you know what I mean, they're not the top tiers. You know, these are kind of like, you know, all, damn, they're bottom of the barrels who are out there on some whole shit for Halloween night, you know? And if you notice, we see more and more of on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, everywhere on social media, on Snapchat. What do you see a lot? You see couples who are doing the costume thing. They're doing the Batman Catwoman. They're doing the Superman Supergirl joint. You know what I mean? They're doing Wolverine and Rogue. They're doing all that shit. They doing the couples costume thing because that's what you want. You want to make sure that you accumulate enough time, clock in enough hours from the beginning of September. So this way, by the time you get to October 31st, y'all can have a badass costume together and get that shit on the gram, get those likes up, you know what I mean? And feel like a slip and really show yourself, show everyone, yeah, we booed up hard and we doing it right. What y'all doing? You know what I'm saying? They want to get that type of attention and everything, right? So that's when that happens, right? So now you cool, now you booed up, you coupled up, you know what I mean? And now you're going into November. November, December, this is straight up. We staying inside. It's too cold. Let's order pizza. Let's make some popcorn. What's on Netflix? Let's get a red box. Let's order Chinese food. Let's just stay in our sweatpants and our sweatshirts all day and just chill and everything on the weekends. Let's not go anywhere. Let's if we go out, let's go out with our couple, our other couple friend for dinner Saturday night, but be home by 10:30 so this way we can kind of chill and do the late show thing and kind of, you know, and kind of cuddle up all night. You know what I mean? Let's wake up late on Sunday and have brunch together on Sunday afternoon and not do nothing the rest of the day. That's what, and then, and of course, obviously, the obvious, you're me and my family on Thanksgiving. We probably will do Friendsgiving as well with our friends. And Christmas time is Christmas time. You know, that's a no-brainer. And what's after Christmas? New Year's. Ain't nobody going out on New Year's no more. People like to do, like I said, they like to do the Netflix and chill shit. Keep it low key. Get the champagne, get the chips, or a pizza. Let's keep it low key. So that's the end of the year. Now we're in January. All right. January is very, very, very interesting because nothing's popping in January. Everything like social, everything cool is on pause. It's a true reset of everything. So January is really the true test of time because since you don't have Halloween to look forward to no more. Football is damn near over with because now we're in the playoff season. No Thanksgiving, no Christmas, no holidays, nothing like that. You have nothing in January. So now you have to really actually, like, learn to enjoy each other as, you know, like, as a couple. You have to learn to, like, do I really like her? Or, you know, or was I just infatuated by her booty? Do I really like him? Or was I just taken back because he has, you know, he has nice pecs? You know, like, do I really like this person that I've been sleeping with? Or has just the sex been like that? Have I been blinded by the sex? But do I really like this person? January is when you really figure out if you really do want to be with this person or not. And I'm going to tell you why it's very important. Because all of this, everything what you started back from Memorial Day, leading up to now, the coup de grace is what? February the 14th, Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day weekend is like the Super Bowl of like relationship shit. That's what it really is. This is when you go all out. This is when you are met. This is when you see how much you mean to the person that you're with and how much that person means to you, depending on how much you go out for them. So based on, of course, your September through December was good, but based on how good your January was, is how good your February 14th is going to be. So if you had a good January, you're going to have a great February 14th. If you had a shitty January, please, you're going to get bullshit on February the 14th. So when it comes to February 14th, what's up? We're looking at what's the hotel talking about? Where do we go out to dinner? How many stars does the restaurant have? What were the flowers like? What was my gift like? How creative was he? How down was she? How banging was she looking? How good did he treat me? How good did she treat me? all these factors are put into play, and now the evaluation happens after Valentine's Day, because now you have a very short, a sliver of a window of time to decide if you're going to stay or you can go. Should I stay or should I go? You have a very small window of time to figure out like what you want to do with this. And if you don't play your cards right, what happens next? Breakup season. And breakup season happens a week after Valentine's Day. Why is it the week after Valentine's Day? Because what's after Valentine's Day, Danny? NBA All-Star Weekend. And if you're on some like if you're on some high tier type shit, as far as like, you know, like being, you know, like being a good looking chick or being like, you know, a decent looking guy or whatever like that. If you're like on Instagram model status and shit, your whole thing is, I'm on breakup season. I'm going to wherever the NBA All-Star Weekend is. It's probably going to be in Atlanta, New Orleans, Houston, or L.A. My girl's going to be down there, and we're going to nab a baller. We're going to nab one of these ballers, right? So this is the thing, is that, like, now some breakup season is here, and that's the plan. This is how it goes. When you're down there, right, the ones who are nabbing the basketball players are your top tier IG models. The ones that actually have like the Fit T sponsorships. The ones that are dancing at King of Diamonds. These are the ones who are actually nabbing your NBA players, you know, like, you know, the rookies, the guys who signed those really nice deals, the guys who got the money, the Jimmy Butlers and everything. Those are the guys who are nabbing those. Now, if you a regular basic bitch who works at T-Mobile customer service, you ain't getting that. You ain't getting no Anthony Davis. So you need to focus on, because if you down there at All-Star Weekend, you're like, you know what? I'm not getting Anthony Davis. I'm not getting John Wall. But I did come down here for some dick. I am getting smashed. So who's left? Who's left, Danny? The regular motherfuckers who are also on breakup season. The regular niggas who came down there, you know what I'm saying, like, who came down there with the boys, flossed out, everybody put in money so they can rent Denali, you know what I mean? Mogs cleaned up, you know what I mean? Ferragamo shoes on and everything like that, you know what I'm saying? Gucci belt buckles looking clean as hell. So this way they're like, you know what I'm saying, like, if four guys coming up, pulling up in the Denali looking all clean and everything, girl's gonna wanna take pictures with them. I don't care how regular they are. We could work at the motherfucking at the damn bank. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I wanna take a picture with you, you're gonna look good on my Instagram, and guess what? We smashing too. Cause I can't get no Klay Thompson, but I sure for damn sure gonna get Larry McPatrick, who lives on 75th. Who works at the Steak and Shake? Shit, but Larry McPatrick look good, right? So now you're coming up on that, and after all that happens, you're in the off season. You're in the off season until it's Memorial Day weekend. So now we're at the end of February, beginning of March, and then the off season happens. In off season, you kind of like, you know, do whatever. You know, you kind of keep it local. You still going to the bars and whatnot. You still doing your thing. And you kind of like, you know, seeing like, you know, how everything plays on until you get to next year's Memorial Day. So, Memorial Day weekend, aside from honoring the men and women who have given their lives to this country so diligently, Memorial Day weekend is also the weekend where it really is about embracing that inner hoe and mapping out the rest of the year.
You're so crazy. Like, I never heard anyone talk about that. Like, Who says let's go to All-Star Weekend, first of all? No one ever says that. Since when are Denali's cool again?
Wait, they not popping?
No!
Denali's are hard. What are you talking about, man? If I see a Denali on the road, I'm like, okay, you know, they doing something.
Okay. Well, you do live in Chicago, and I live in Redmond. Denali's are like a normal thing here.
Oh, okay. To me, okay, like real, like other side, like that's like an anomaly. I don't see those a lot. Like we don't see those a lot over here.
Your whole explanation of the year is like completely different than what it would look like over here.
Why? Because y'all are too far out, or y'all too rich?
No, I think it's because we're too rich, and it's like for me, like for so Memorial Day weekend, like starts boat season here.
Boat season. Oh, good. Okay. I see you on that.
So like it was nice out, so everyone took the boats out. Yeah. Like that was so the lake was popping. Like that's what they do out here. It's like it's this definitely the start of boat season.
Right.
You know, so it's like
that's when you really show what your bank account talking about.
Well, like it's boat season. That's what everyone does. You just go out and you get on the boat. You have drinks. You listen to music, and you may see another group of people on the boat, and they may look like they're fun to hang out with. And you anchor up with them, and you connect your boat. You have two boats now to jump back and forth from.
So, are boats cheaper out there? Are they relatively inexpensive?
No.
Because out here, like to me, like if you have a boat, I'm like, okay, like who? What mafia family are you a part of?
Yeah, out here, you're probably looking at like 1 in 5 people have a boat.
Damn, that's wild.
It's just, it's like normal.
Yeah, that's wild to me, man. For real.
Well, like, how close do you live to like water that you could use a boat on?
Well, we have Lake Michigan, and everyone, and I only know one couple that has a boat. Mm-hmm. And so like, every time I see them, I'm always like, so how's your boat? Like, I ask them like a million questions about what's like maintaining it and, you know, like, you know, do you need the licensing or whatever? Like, you know, like, what's it like to hold your spot? I'm always asking them like a bunch of questions. But when I talk to them, though, they let me know about how many other people that they like you said, like, they dock up with, like, you know, on weekends, like Memorial Day weekend, they may have like, you know, their friends who also own boats where they like kind of connect together and everything. And I'm just like, this is a whole community of people that I can't even imagine being real. You know what I mean? So it's fascinating to me because that's a whole world of people I can't even imagine existing.
Yeah, I guess.
And Dave's like, yeah, no, that ain't shit. it's as prevalent as seeing cars.
I mean, we live so close to water. Like, how far is Lake Michigan?
Oh, it's just up the street. Not far.
Oh, okay, so super close.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Like, we're so surrounded by water. Like, it's... I don't know, man. There's a lot of money in this area. You saw it. You were here. Oh, you know what it's like.
No, that's real.
It's just, like, boats are just normal. Like, everyone has a boat.
Does your family have a boat?
No one in my immediate family has a boat. Uh-huh. So none of my cousins do or anyone like that. Teresa's husband, Scott.
Yeah.
His family has two.
God damn.
Well, his grandpa lives on the lake.
Really?
Yeah. So his grandpa has a lake house. Oh, so they have
love.
Yeah. So they have a boat house, and then they have just a regular boat.
Jesus. Does he ever like... Go ahead.
And they have one of the first jet skis that ever was in Lake Washington.
Really?
Yeah, they still have it.
What year was that when they introduced it to Washington?
I don't even know. Probably the 70s or 80s.
I bet, I can only imagine like what people with face were like what? It's like what? Wait, you gonna put it in the water? Bro, you're gonna sink! Wait, you're gonna sink! Whoa, he's going fast.
Whoa. Right, but then like to counteract all that, his grandpa's neighbor has a plane. like a seaplane.
Jesus.
So, like, that, and again, that's, like, normal. Those are normal things.
You, like, low-key say that that's your boat, too, because your cousin is married to him. So, because it, your cousin, like, because he has access, Teresa has access, you have access.
Oh, all the time. Well, I'm always like, so we're taking the boat out or what? like, yeah, is the boat dewinterized yet? Yeah, it's time to take it out. Let's do this.
Oh, man. I'm surprised Chris doesn't have a boat.
He doesn't live by the water, so it's kind of pointless.
Oh, that's true.
That's the other thing, because like, if you have a boat, like you have a dock for it, and so like most people who live on the water, they have their own dock, so it's easy to have a boat.
Yeah.
Right? Because you kind of, if you're going to pay that much money for something, like you kind of want it there, right? If not, because if you live where we live, and then you go, you have to drive 20, 25 minutes to get to the dock, like who knows what's happening to your boat?
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
So you, it's kind of
you have to be like close in case anything goes down. So
yeah, because I mean you're looking, that's a couple hundred grand right there on a boat, yeah. You know. So
damn, yeah, that's the dream, man, for real. That, you know, and that's the thing, is that when you like live in a place like Miami, that's probably like another thing too. Like you kind of like have to have a boat in order to be able to kind of keep up.
Oh, for sure.
Maintain that look. So I can see how that go and everything though. But, man, I don't know, that's the dream one day, man. That's the dream. You are going to be watching Extreme Rules on Sunday?
Yes.
Shit looks good, man. The, Raw was kind of whack last week, but I am looking forward to see how this whole Fatal 5-Way is going to play out. So for those who don't know, it's Roman Reigns against Seth Rollins, against Finn Balor, against Bray Wyatt, and Samoa Joe against Samoa Joe, and the winner of this match will be the number one contender for the Universal title. Is that match, the match against Brock Lesnar, is that going to be on Extreme Rules as well, or is that SummerSlam?
No. It's TBD.
Gotcha, okay. Alright. Because I was confused. I was like, are they wrestling that same night?
No.
You know, like, kind of like right after kind of deal, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Nope, it's definitely not.
Word, okay. So they'll probably save it for, like, maybe SummerSlam or something like that, I assume.
Yeah, probably.
Who you got for that main event?
Man, I don't know. Like, there's so many variables that you can have, right?
Yeah.
Seth Rollins probably not going to win. Maybe Finn Balor, since he didn't technically lose the title.
Yeah.
But you have Brock Lesnar, who... Is he a face? Is he a heel? You don't know, really.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you had that promo from Paul Heyman a couple weeks ago with Finn Balor about how he's like, I want you to fight him. So then there's that. Right. Joe probably not going to win. Roman Reigns better not win. yeah, I don't know. If I had to choose, if I absolutely had to choose, I'm going to go with Finn Balor.
Yeah. No, I feel you on that. You brought it up a second ago. That's what kind of threw me off, though, because I was riding with Finn as well, too. But then with that Heyman promo, I was like, See, this is when WWE kind of throws me a curveball, because I'm like, okay, are they doing this to make it not as obvious? Like Finn's not the obvious choice anymore? Or are they doing this way they can kind of like pump up a backstory with Brock and Finn, if they were to do that match down the road? So I'm like kind of like, you know, in limbo with it now.
Mm-hmm.
Where I don't know if it is gonna be Finn. Because at one point I'm like, yeah, Finn makes the most sense. You know, he didn't technically lose it. SummerSlam will be 1 year since he had it last, and then he had to relinquish it the next night. That's a great David and Goliath story of Finn against Brock Lesnar and whatnot. So, you know, like there's a lot of factors. But like I said, like, you know, when they did a little promo, I'm like, okay, now I don't even know. Now right. I'm not even sure.
You know? Right.
If it's not Finn, I'm still riding with Roman Reigns.
Of course you are.
Roman needs a belt, man.
No, he doesn't. He needs to go away.
Ah, man, he needs to be champion.
He needs to get injured and go away.
Wow. You said all that's that?
He needs to just... Somebody hurt him.
God damn, that's harsh.
Just make him go away. He's unneeded. He's not needed.
He is needed, though, man. He's the face of Raw.
No, he's not.
You know what I mean?
No, nobody cares about him except for you.
Hey, me and about a million other motherfuckers. Millions.
Bunch of 12-year-olds and...
12-year-olds?
And a bunch of people in India.
What's wrong with India?
Nothing's wrong with India. I'm just saying. India got a champion right now.
India
I'm happy with him.
The champion. They got our champion.
I'm happy with that. Hell Roman Reigns? No. India can keep Roman Reigns.
For the Intercontinental Championship, it is Dean Ambrose defending the title against The Miz with a really weird stipulation where if like Ambrose gets disqualified, he'll lose the title. And I'm just like, ain't this Extreme Rules?
Right?
We're talking about DQs up in this motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't care about... Well, see, I like Miz, kind of. He's kind of annoying. I liked him better on SmackDown.
Say that.
Like him and his Cena thing, like, that was a good rivalry, but, like, this whole Dean Ambrose, I don't like Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
He does nothing for me. Mm-hmm. So, I don't care who wins that match. Mm. I hope both of them get injured, and then they both go
God
away.
Damn. So you got Roman Reigns injured, you got Dean Ambrose injured, Miz injured. Shit, you got injured Maryse too?
She can stay.
Okay. Oh, okay. As long as she has your permission.
Yeah, she can
stay. I fuck with The Miz the long way. I fuck with him heavy. And I'm still not...
Close to the short way?
I'm still not sold totally on him being on Raw, because I'd rather him be on the A Show, SmackDown. But because I want him to become the WWE Champion again. But I'm cool with the champion right now. I think Miz, what he did with the IC title in SmackDown was probably some of the best stuff that we've seen happen with the IC title since God, a long time, man. Like when he was champion over there, he reminded me so much of old school 1992 Shawn Michaels, with just like with the really really unfiltered cockiness, the really inhibited like just really like malicious ways of how he was, you know. He was very deceiving, and I fucking love that. And I think Miz really did live up to that, and beyond. He went beyond expectations, being the IC champion. And I just don't like him on Raw, because I think Raw is just too much. It's too big of a field for him. I like SmackDown, because it's a little bit more intimate, and he was doing the damn thing. And plus, talking smack was just such a great platform for him, and there's nothing like that on Raw. So I'm scared that he's going to kind of like, you know, fall into oblivion. So I'm really hoping. And plus, I cannot stand Dean Ambrose. I never bought him. I'm not gonna say never. I have not liked him since he was WWE champion last year. That's when it really ruined him for me. So I'm gonna go with The Miz on this one. I'm high key going for The Miz on this one, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming this is your personal main event. The Raw Women's Championship match. Alexa Bliss, she's defending the Raw Women's Championship against the challenger Bayley in the kendo stick on the pole match. A very, very Russo match. I'm confident into asking who you're gonna win. Who you think is gonna win? I think I know.
Oh,
who you think
is gonna win. Bayley, yeah, for sure. So, let's talk about that match real quick.
Sure.
Just really, really quick.
Yeah, yeah.
So, kendo stick on a pole match. First person that gets it gets to use it. Wow. So the second person doesn't get to use it. is that the stipulation?
What you mean, for real?
Yeah, because that's what they're saying. First person that gets the stick gets to use it. So if I get the stick, and only I can use it? You can't take it from me to use?
No, you can. Like, if Alexa...
Or are they just saying the first person that touches it, it's activated now?
Well, it's I mean, it really is, like, the first person who grabs a stick can... Obviously, can use the stick. But if you happen to drop that stick or I knock you out, you let that stick roll out the ring and I grab it now I can use the stick. Like, the stick is... Basically, whoever pulls on the stick, the stick is fair play.
It's just the way they worded it, I guess.
I feel you on that. Like, it does make it seem like if Bailey gets a stick, only Bailey can use a stick, and if Alexa Bliss happens to use it, then she gets disqualified or whatever. But no. If once that stick is brought down off the pole, then it's on and popping. It's on.
Okay. I guess just the way they worded it sounds weird.
Yeah.
I guess. No, okay. Next.
I feel you on that. You got Bliss, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm rolling with Bliss too. I can't see how Bailey would win this match. And
but then the only thing that gets me on this is how they've been talking about how unextreme she is.
So she'll have a shine moment where she goes off.
Yeah, she'll pull her ponytail tighter. Use that kendo stick. Can't wait.
Seeing the hair follicles and everything, you know, it's so damn tight and shit. Or she takes her ponytail off. Oh shit, it's on now.
Oh man,
watch out. Yeah,
let's not get crazy,
right? Yeah. Now the only thing, Alexa Bliss, she just has to just prepare to get like really worked, because they're gonna give Bailey a really good shine during this match to really go in on her. And there might be another candlestick that might be under the ring, so she might have some two candlestick action going on. So Bliss just has to like be ready to receive some to receive a receipt, basically, because remember Bailey had that big old mark on her back a couple weeks back. So she's gonna get ready for a receipt, but while she's getting ready for the receipt, she's also gonna get the win. So Alexa Bliss will get the victory.
Can only hope.
Yeah, I don't see like the on the flips on the other side of this pay per view. Like, what's gonna be the benefit? Like, what's gonna happen if Bailey's a champion?
Nothing.
You know what I mean? So I think that like it will be smart to have Bailey and I'm sorry, Bliss and Nia Jax for the title at SummerSlam.
Nia Jax, you think?
I think so. She's been off TV a little bit. They're best friends in real life. You know what I'm saying? So it could be kind of like a cool little thing for them. They could probably tell a good story. Wait, hold on. Now I'm thinking about it because they're two heels.
Hold up. Whoa there. Hope not happening. Next.
Yeah. Wait, who else is on Raw? Is Mickie James on Raw? Or is she on SmackDown?
She is. No, she's on Raw.
Oh, so they might do Mickie James and Bliss.
OMG!
Alright, okay. Raw Tag Team Championships, the Hardy Boys are defending the titles against Cesaro and Sheamus in a steel cage match. I like the new Cesaro and Sheamus. I finally have, like, now liked these guys, you know, to what they've become. Like, they've, like, finally, after all of this time, have found their groove together as a tag team. Like, they look like a legit tag team now. They don't look like two guys thrown together, two singles thrown together. They look like a legit tag team right now.
I can see that.
They need a name, bro. They need, like, a really badass name, because they look like some hard motherfuckers.
Debatable. Depends on who you talk to, I guess.
Who are you rolling with this one?
I don't know. If the Hardys drop, then what else are they going to do?
Broken gimmick again?
Okay. I can see that.
Oh, wait. Aren't they, like, aren't WWE, like, in, like, the middle of, like, a... Not, like, a lawsuit, but trying to get the rights to that whole Broken gimmick from TNA?
TNA tried to, like, sue them and stuff. Or, I don't really know. I don't try to get into other people's business.
If they know what's best, like real talk, like, real shit, like, because the new company that owns TNA now, I can't remember the name for the life of me right now. like Triumph or some shit. I can't remember the name of their company, but if they, I mean, they need to do good business with WWE and like say, okay, you guys want the library? Okay, this is gonna be our asking price for the library, because we don't really have the platform that you have, so they can like, you know, kind of jack up the price kind of nice, because WWE wants that video library so bad that it would be worth it for TNA to actually like entertain that idea of selling that to them. In addition, they should entertain the idea of selling the broken gimmick as well, too. They can get some real serious cash. So I don't know why they're not the Anthem, that's the name of the company. I don't know why they're not jumping on that opportunity.
That's who knows?
That's good money to me. That's good money.
So. Sure.
Whatever you say. But exactly. Like, it depends like what they want to do, whatever. So I'm going to go on a limb and I'm gonna say Cesaro and Sheamus are the new champions.
I can agree with you on that.
Okay. In a submission match, we have the WWE Cruiserweight Champion, that's Neville, defend the title against Austin Aries. I don't care what motherfucker said. I enjoyed the match on Monday. They had that tag match. I enjoyed that. I know people on the internets did not like it. I thought it was good. I liked the shine at the end. It looked good. I like the fact that this story is still continuing from since WrestleMania. And now we're going to get something very unique with these guys. We're not necessarily going to get all the high-flying shit. We're going to get a very scientific match, which I am a mark for. So I'm looking forward to this. It's hard for me to call. I don't know who to pick with this one.
I think Aries is going to get his moment.
Really? You think he's going to win the title?
Yep.
Wow. That'd be cool. It's only hard for me because Neville is holding it the fuck down as champion. And although I would love to see Aries win the title, I'm like, but Neville is killing it on 205 as champion. So that's why it's hard for me to pick this one.
Well, you give it to Aries, then they have a rubber at SummerSlam. Mm.
Good point. Okay. Ooh, I wonder what that SummerSlam match stipulation would be. Maybe an Iron Man match, a 30-minute Iron Man match. Ooh, with Aries and Neville? 30-minute Iron Man match? Oh, man, please. Man, I'm in. Please. We going to New York, Danny. Shit, fuck it. In the mixed tag match, Rich Homie Swan and Sasha Banks against Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. Just a regular mixed tag grudge match. Which kind of
did you call him Noam Dar?
Yeah, what's his name? Noam Dar?
Noam Dar?
Yeah, that nigga.
I like Noam Dar. I might be the only person that actually likes him.
Alicia Fox.
I hate Alicia Fox.
She's gotten better, though.
Is
it me?
It's you.
Aw, oh, man. She seems like she's gotten better.
No, she hasn't. She's never been good.
I'm just glad they don't do that screaming shit. Remember when she was doing that screaming gimmick for a while?
She's like, yeah, and she's like pouring soda on people.
Yeah, she was just so weird. I'm like, what are you doing? Stop this.
Oh, it's like a normal crazy girl?
Huh?
A normal crazy girl?
Yeah, basically. From Seattle.
Seattle girls are crazy.
Are they for real?
They might be. They're all super basic.
They seem like they don't have a lot to be crazy about out there. Like they seem like they have like shit in order.
No, they don't
have to be crazy.
No, they're all crazy.
Damn. Oh, they low key crazy.
They just don't have like they don't have a lot of like
baby daddy drama and shit. Girl, let me tell you what this nigga did. You know.
Yeah. No, there's not any of that. Like their dramas are like, I can't believe this guy made my Starbucks drink wrong. Those are Seattle girl problems. Like,
oh my goodness,
I can't believe I didn't wear my hunter boots today because it's raining outside. I can't believe I missed the first day of the Nordstrom's annual sale. It's like, really? Those are Seattle problems.
If they mess up my pumpkin spice latte one more freaking time, oh my god, it's going to be World War IV up in here.
I went to Blazin' Bagels, and they didn't have any more smoked salmon. It was ridiculous. I'm never going back there again.
How do I start my Tuesday without my smoked salmon from Blazin' Bagels? Oh, my God.
That's a real problem, though, because it's good.
It is, bro.
Have you ever had, like, Lox Bagels?
Oh, I fucking love it.
Oh, man, we should have got you some of that up here when you were here.
Oh, man, next time, bro.
Next time.
Like, real talk. Like, do they do the whole thing with the actual salmon on the bagel with the, you know, with the dill and shit?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's fucking heaven. That's like, when you have that in the, wait, do you eat that or not?
Yeah, I just take capers off because I think they're gross.
Oh, you don't like the capers? Oh, I love the capers. The capers bring out like a burst of flavor.
No, I'm good. No, this is like the fennel thing. No.
Are we doing this again?
Get out of here.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, who you got? You got Rich Homie Swan and your second baby mama?
Sure.
Banks? Yeah, I'll roll with that too. That sounds good.
Sure. I don't care.
But yes, that's Extreme Rules on Sunday, so we know it's going to be... I like pay-per-view Sundays, man. I like, it's something about it. I still get, like, not like where I'm like, yay, but I still get, like, excited, like, when I know a pay-per-view is coming up on a Sunday. Because I know it's, like, it's a good way to end the weekend, I think. Just a chill, turn on WWE Network, you know what I mean? Talk that shit. But.
Yeah. I don't know. I get excited, but not that excited. Anymore.
Not like, you know, where you're like peeing your pants, but it's just kind of like, you know, it's like a nice little bonus. Like when you think about it, you're like, oh yeah, it's pay-per-view tonight. Cool. Okay, cool business.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes the pay-per-view, I'm just like, ugh, like, I have to watch this.
It's like a chore, yeah. Oh man. Speaking of chore, I want to get your take on this. How would you feel about a beef between Tyga and Travis Scott?
A beef between Tyga and Travis Scott?
Yeah, I'm very interested because I know how you feel about Tyga, but I also know how you feel about Travis Scott. Like, you're a fan of both sides.
It'd be like the... You know what I mean? I don't know. That's just a weird mixture of people that beef with each other.
See, yeah, because like, there's like a rumor going around that like that this beef might be on the horizon. That Tyga, supposedly he made a record dissing Travis Scott, and this shit might get this shit might actually grow into something. Personally, I'm very intrigued by it because it's so different. You know what I mean?
Travis Scott would destroy Tyga.
Would he?
I think so.
See,
I feel like he would, but you have Tyga who has like Young Money backing and all that stuff, so they can like pull out some heavy hitters.
Right.
I feel like it could be like a whole I don't know. I was gonna liken it to the Nicki Minaj Remy Ma thing where Remy went off and then like Nicki comes back but then her track has Drake and Weezy on it.
Right, right.
You know, so like Travis Scott might come off with something and then like Tyga will come back and he's like, yeah, well, I have Drake and Weezy and Young Money, and yeah, so I'm just going to bring them into, you know, so I don't know. I feel like it could go both ways, but neither of them, and then you run into neither of them are really that lyrical, and, it, you know, it's going to be like two bullies trying to fight each other and nobody's going to win. It's going to be a double knockout.
I like that analogy, two bullies. Yeah, no, right. And I think that's why it's very unique because it is very it's very to the left. And that's why I was like really to you because that's the thing with Travis, he's not known for being lyrical. he's known for just making some really hype shit. And, you know, getting you turned up. It's lit! You know, like, getting you turned up and everything.
Yeah, I can see the beef just being like, Tyga, I hate you! 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 You know, and then, like, Tyga's gonna be like, I know, but I hate you more! It's gonna be so, like...
I'll be so mad if his response is, I know, I hate you more! I hate you a lot more!
Turn up!
Right. But that's the thing,
I'm
though.
I'm from Rack City, and you're not. Like, all right, cool.
You Trap City, I'm Rack City, bitch. But that's the thing, because to me, I'm just like, maybe this is an opportunity for, like, for us to actually see if Tyga actually has something in the tank. Maybe we never actually had a chance to actually see, like, what he can do lyrically. And this could be his opportunity to actually show, like, hey, I got these bars. I got that heat, but y'all never hear it because I do a lot of club records. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, you can kind of say the same shit about Travis Scott. Maybe he actually does have some heat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. So that's why I'm saying, like, the only reason why I would like to see this beef actually happen is because I think that it has potential to bring the best out of these two on some like, you know, back and forth, keep it on wax, lyrical type shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think, I guess because, like, Travis Scott was, you know, purposely clutching on, what's the Kardashian girl he with, Kylie? He was clutching on her booty real hard and everything, and, you know, Tyga had some, he had some words about that, I think on Twitter or whatever like that, and then, like, that's when, like, the rumor came about that he actually, like, recorded a record about Travis Scott. So, you know, I don't know, you know what I'm saying, but that's what I'm saying, like, you know, I would like to see it because it could bring out the best in some artistry shit, you know what I mean?
I guess. Also petty stuff, though. It's like,
oh, it'll be mad petty. Oh, they can go very petty with this shit.
Like, oh, you grabbed her booty, like, alright, cool. Like, no.
You grabbed her booty, but guess what? I ate her booty.
But like, how is that something to beef about? If you're gonna beef Travis Scott for grabbing her booty, you might as well beef on every other dude that's grabbed her booty.
True. And plus, that's her man now. So I mean, you know.
I guess.
Have you seen the new chick Tyga's with this new chick who looks damn near exactly like Kylie? It's kind of weird. But
no, I'm so far removed from like celebrity relationships and beefs.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I just... because I don't listen to that much hip-hop anymore. Like, I've been saying, I don't know. I'm just, like, so out of the loop of it all.
We gotta give us the beef on what's going... Who's beefing in EDM right now?
Nobody. Everyone loves each other. All they do is pop Molly, and they're like, I love you.
See, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear Skrillex is talking shit about Deadmau5. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear that shit, Danny.
Deadmau5 might be the only person that would beef with anybody because he pretty much hates everyone.
Oh, nice, nice. See,
they don't make music about it.
Can you imagine an EDM like diss track?
Maybe
it's like let's say Deadmau5 took something Skrillex made, like took his sample and just kind of like fucked it all up, or even did it better. You know what I'm saying? That would be the EDM diss track.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Like, see how I did that?
Well, since we're talking about EDM, so the Spring Awakening Festival is next weekend.
Oh, yeah, in Chicago, right?
In Chicago.
Yeah, oh, that's already happening?
Yeah, it's like 9, 10, 11 or something like that.
Damn.
Do you guys have, like, a certain cutoff time for, like, shows? Because I was looking at the set times, and they all end at, like, 10 at night.
No shit, for real?
Yeah, which I thought was really odd.
It's at Grant Park, right?
Yeah.
Probably, because Grant Park is, and Carla, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Grant Park is part of the Park District. So, and because it's part of the Park District, they like, you gotta kind of, like, stay within, like, regulation. Because, like, yeah, because, like, the Taste of Chicago and all that stuff that happens, and, like, Blues Fest and all that stuff and everything, it all has kind of, like a hard cutoff time. They don't want
that's so early.
But that's the thing though, is that like I assume, because I think Lala's like that too as well. But I assume that because they have, but there's so many like after parties though everywhere.
I mean, I guess, so, but it's like if you go to EDC in Vegas, they do it completely different than most people. They don't start until like 11 o'clock at night.
Oh yeah, you said they go all like, yeah, they go during the middle of the night, right?
Yeah, they do it during the night. Yeah, but like out here, if you go to like Paradiso, which is our huge EDM festival in the summer, like it ends at like 2 a.m.
See, and that, yeah, no, I think that's smart.
And but I mean, it starts at 2 p.m. It's like a 12-hour thing.
That's love.
For 2 days.
But you see, that's it. Y'all have fuckery the way we have fuckery, though.
I can't. Even at an EDM thing in Chicago, like, you think Marquise from the Block is going to show up, try to shoot people
These
up?
This nigga said Marquise from the Block.
Like, that's not going to happen. Over here, like, Brian will come to the raid. Brian and Billy will come. Andrew will show up.
Brian, Billy, and Andrew. This rock wilded.
But Jermaine ain't going. He's not going to the raids.
Jermaine at the future show.
Yeah, Jamarcus ain't coming.
Todd's going to be there in his meth truck.
Todd will be there. Looking like a rapist.
Yeah. No, but that's the thing, though. I think, I'm pretty sure Spring Awakening does this as well, too, but I know Lala, after everything's all said and done with Lala, because Lala went in around, like, you know, 10:30, there's always these concert venues, like the Vic and the Concord Music Hall and the Bottom Lounge, where the after parties are all happening all around the city. So you leave Spring Awakening, but, you know, there's going to be DJs playing at the, you know, at the Riviera, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, just a couple miles down. So now you head to the Riviera, or they're going to be at the Aragon Ballroom, they're going to be at the Vic, they're going to be at the Concord. So, you know, there's always, like, small venues where the party's going to keep going, and them motherfuckers go until about, you know, we're talking about probably like 3 in the morning, bars don't close until 4 or 5 in the morning. So, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, like, the parties, like, you still have options, even though that fest is over with.
Mm-hmm.
It's the night is still young, all over the place.
Yes.
So you just gotta kind of like know, okay, like, all right, what's next after Spring Awakening is over with on Friday night? Okay, what's next? Where are we going to right now? Because it's only 10 o'clock. It's still early. Everything's still popping. Everything's still open.
See, that's weird to me.
So in a way, Spring Awakening is kind of like the jump off for the night.
I guess. That should be the main, but whatever.
I feel you. No, I feel you on that.
Not my problem.
Would you ever come out here for it?
I would love to come out there for it.
I told you, if you ever come out here, I'll roll with you.
Yeah, but you said I could only do like one day. Like, I'm trying to do all 3 days.
you might, I don't know, maybe I might reconsider. You know what I'm saying? Just because it's different.
It's the best time you've ever had.
The best time of my life. I just want to. If we go, I want to smoke before we go. I want to go there very, very under the influence, and then yeah, just go from there. Fuck it.
Do it.
Yeah. We actually kind of rewinding back a little bit because we had a couple of responses. We had a question from Matt Peters, who sent us a question on Instagram, and we're winding back a little bit to wrestling. He asked, does Bray still have the opportunity to reach the heights that Undertaker and even Kane did as supernatural characters?
No.
So that possibility of Bray being the next Phenom is done.
Yep. Completely gone. He screwed it all up. Screwed it up at WrestleMania.
The writers did.
Yep.
Yeah. See, that's... Yeah, I mean, they made him lose way too many times in a row. And yep. I still highly, vehemently disagree with him losing at WrestleMania to John Cena. Just aside from the obvious, but I thought that was a perfect... perfect opportunity, especially considering what happened later on that night with Taker losing, you know, the end of the streak. That was a perfect opportunity for him to beat Cena earlier that night and for him to, like, really pontificate over the fact that he came out the victor, Undertaker came out the loser. Set that up for next year's WrestleMania, where you were at in San Francisco, where Bray Wyatt and Undertaker face, and Bray Wyatt gets another fucking victory over Taker, and then he would have been this is the Phenom.
Yep.
Like, they had a great opportunity to do that,
and yeah, I'm like, I think they screwed it all up.
Yeah, why did he lose to both Cena and Taker 2 years in a row?
Because it's John Cena.
And Bray didn't, because Bray didn't even have a match at Mania 32, right? And in Dallas, he was just in that little segment with The Rock, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, they had that impromptu match.
Yeah, but that was between Rock and Eric Rowan.
No, and then Cena came out, and then Bray Wyatt was all in the mix.
Oh, I forgot about that part.
Yeah, it was the best part of WrestleMania, duh.
Sure.
I was so pissed. I was like, yeah. I was like, I can't wait. I'm going to have a whole WrestleMania without John Cena. And then his music hit, dude. I was so pissed.
I remember watching it. I'm like, man, I wish I could see Danny's face right now. He mad. He sat back down in his chair like, man, fuck these. Fuck this.
Pretty much what happened.
His, and then Bray loses to Randy Orton. He drops the title the next year at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So that's what, yeah, so I gotta agree. Man, Matt Peters, I don't know, man. It might be a wrap when it comes to that, man. I don't know. I mean, unless they do something miraculous with him winning this Fatal 5-Way and then beating Brock and then having him have an amazing rest of the year. I don't see that happening though, bro. He also asked, will he ever get a guest spot in the Popeyes commercial? I laughed at that at first, but then I got it. I'm like, oh, okay, because of the whole Bayou mysterious type of thing. Which I don't know, maybe if since he's not gonna be the Phenom, he'll be a Popeyes spokesman.
You never know. Dolph Ziggler's the face of KFC.
Yeah, that's true. In addition, we had a response from our conversation from last week about the whole marriage thing. Per Adrian's email, I was corrected by one of our listeners. By Melissa Ramirez, she sent me a message informing me that actually Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell are still together. I said, no, they're not. I thought they broke up a couple years, like some years ago. And she sent me an article that was just published like recently, within the past like month or whatever, about how, wait, did I say Kurt Russell or Kirk Douglas?
Kurt Russell.
Okay, all right. I couldn't remember if I said the right name. How Kurt...
I couldn't remember what I just said 30 seconds ago.
Right, story of my life. How Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn have like kept their 26 year relationship as strong as it is without getting married. I'm like, oh shit, dude, I was wrong. So yeah, so she corrected me on that. However, that correction proved my point even more. So good looking out. And so yeah, so that's
cool story, Hansel.
Real quick before we get out of here, I wanted to clown on Tristan Thompson real quick. He had a shitty game tonight. I don't even want to see what he scored. I don't even know if he scored tonight. I saw him fucking it all up and down the court on both defense and offense, and I was like, wow. But the word on the street is, though, is that his girlfriend, Khloe Kardashian, is pregnant. That's the word on the street. Nothing's been official yet. But the way how he was playing as if she told him the news earlier today, like, hey, I know you're getting ready for game one. I know you're on the road. You're in Oakland preparing for the game. But I just want to let you know that I'm pregnant. And he's on some, oh, shit, this went too far. I just wanted to smash and say I smashed a Kardashian. But now I'm about to have a baby with the one who couldn't have a baby before? Fuck my life.
He had 0 points.
I told you he played like shit.
He played 22 minutes. He's 0 for 3. No 3-point attempts. 4 rebounds. 2 assists.
He was lucky to get that.
Yeah, 0 points.
He looked like trash out there. Real talk. Like I saw him like, how many turnovers? Did it say how many turnovers he got?
No, that's not on this set.
Okay. But I'm sure he's got at least like 2-3.
Oh, here we go. Turnovers. 1.
Okay. Well, that 1 looked very big. But still, this wasn't Tristan Thompson who you're not used to seeing Tristan Thompson with zero with a goose egg.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you see Tristan Thompson play, you know, he putting up about a good, strong 9, 10, 11 points. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So, and those would be the 9, 10, 11 points that actually, like, were, like, meaningful, like, some game changers or whatever. So, we didn't see that from him tonight. We didn't see shit. We did see the Warriors beat the shit out of the Cavs. This game
was basically LeBron and Kyrie versus Durant and Curry.
Oh, Durant had like what, like 40? They had 40 points?
Durant had 38.
38, okay.
Curry had 28.
Wow.
LeBron had 28, mm-hmm. and Kyrie had 24.
Wow, yeah. And LeBron had like 8 turnovers, I think, tonight, too, as well.
Just a moment, I can give you that stat.
Yeah.
LeBron James, 8 turnovers. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, this was just like a... We knew where he was going to win this game. But Sunday, game 2, that's going to be a problem.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a freaking problem, man. Like, I think Cleveland's going to come out strong as hell. So, we're going to see something very different with this with that game 2, though. But we shall see, though. All right? All right, brother. Anything else, man, before we get out of here?
Nope.
You know, it's funny because, like, last night I was, like, I was so out of it. I was out of it. I wasn't feeling well. I was, like, I'm, like, I don't even know.
What the man fuck period.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was, like, the man period. 24-hour man period. I didn't even know what to talk about. I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck to talk about tonight for the podcast. but yeah, no, we had some material tonight, though.
Maurice texted me, said I'm not feeling it. Can we record later? I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I'm just out of it. I was like, man, period. Yeah. All I got was so middle finger emojis.
So you're on your man period again?
Again? Not is it that? Not are you going through it? No. Again,
right? Yeah, so I had to put on my man period panties and everything, and you know, just kind of crawl in bed and. You know, just sleep the night away and slept it
off. Eat a pint of ice cream, yeah. Cry, watch Eat, Love, Pray.
Wow, well, with some Grey's Anatomy, catching up on that shit. Put my avocado mask on.
Nope.
Oh, man. Anyway, that's another episode. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MDX Podcast. Also look us up on Facebook, follow us on there as well too, like our page, subscribe to us on iTunes, so this way and you can get the updates when the shows are uploaded. Subscribe to us and also give us a five stars and a nice review, that'd be very nice. And subscribe to us on Podomatic, so this way you have all the updates when the show is uploaded. And like we always say, we encourage any emails, comments, messages. Any hate mail, we love it all. Bring it our way, and we'll show you some love. Thanks again to Matt Peters and Melissa Ramirez for you guys' input to this episode, and to anyone else well too. Like hit us up, we'll be more than happy to show you some love with the feedback tip. But anyway, let us know how you think about this episode. Let us know if you have any questions or you have any comments about what we talked about. If you want to add on to the conversation. We'll continue that next week. But other than that, though, we are all set. And we'll holler at y'all later.
Peace.
Peace.